Welcome to Stateside. I'm April Baer. A jury in Minneapolis has found former police officer Derek Chauvin guilty of George Floyd's murder. From Grand Rapids to Detroit, activists and community members took to the streets yesterday and today to celebrate the verdict. The same streets they walked time and again during months of protests last summer. Let's hear from just a few of them.
Show me what community looks like!
This is what community looks like!
Show me what
you. So today is certainly a victory for the movement in defense of black and brown lives. Unfortunately, it falls short of freedom.
This verdict means a lot. It means the world, but it's still not enough. Okay, he's found guilty. Now what? Now what? How much time is he going to do? What are you going to do to stop it in the future?
This is fantastic that the system finally acknowledged that. But there's a lot of families who hasn't had that acknowledgement yet. So it is up to us to keep that going.
Revolution.
You can't stop the revolution!
GRPD is not the solution!
GRPD.
It took all of that hard work and all of that effort to get this kind of verdict for one police officer. And that to me says that there's a lot more work to do.
I think that we are past level one and that our organizing efforts are going to intensify because what we really want is transformative change for the entire system.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
We don't get it!
The voices you just heard were Nakia Wallace of Detroit, Allie Bates of Grand Rapids, Danny Santiago of Grand Rapids, Alexandria Hughes of Dearborn, and Ray Lanier of Detroit. As you can tell, many activists see this as a starting point, not an ending. Even as people gathered to celebrate a guilty verdict for Chauvin, news broke of another shooting just south of here. Police in Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed a teenage girl yesterday. Makia Bryant had called police because she felt threatened. And earlier this week, police in Detroit shot a man who reportedly fired into a crime scene. One verdict is in, but many others await. Tristan Taylor is an activist with Detroit Will Breathe, the youth-led group formed to confront police and elected leaders and advocate for community-centered solutions. Tristan, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Detroit Will Breathe was in the street nonstop over the past year, inspired by many deaths, but especially George Floyd's. What was it like to get up this morning knowing that Derek Chauvin had been convicted on all charges?
Well, I feel like many people feel, on the one hand, grateful for what the movement was able to achieve. Because this was a victory of the movement in the streets, Chauvin being guilty. But at the same time, the New York Times reported, I think, that three deaths a day by police officers occurred during the Chauvin trial. So we clearly have a long ways to go. Real justice is when the guilty verdict that Chauvin received is the norm and not the exception. When there is like transparency and accountability that occurs with every incident of police brutality. And justice for us ultimately means making sure that communities have direct control over resources they produce so that they can determine what are their needs and how to make and to make sure that those needs are being met.
You've talked about these transparencies and these community issues on an institutional level, as well as stuff that's very specific to Detroit. If I can start with the specifics, are there needles that you feel have moved since last May, either in terms of how police interact with people, how the city presents information about those interactions, or maybe in how people in Detroit interact with each other in protest? What's changed?
Well, I do think that there is more scrutiny of Chief Craig and the police department than there used to be. And that incidences that involve police shootings raises concerns and people wanting to get information. Information is not always forthcoming, unfortunately, especially a thorough investigation to the community. So we still have a lot to achieve in that regards. You know, we've been focused in Detroit a lot about how Detroit police officers also participate in evictions, which is supposed to be counter to their policy, because that's just another way in which police officers do damage to Black and brown people in Detroit. We've also been able to see some reaction of police backing away under certain instances, but it's not enough of what it should be.
What have you come to rely on in terms of, I mean, there are the anecdotal things that we all talk to each other about in person and on social media. And then there are the numbers that are sometimes presented from the city's perspective about interactions. Like, what do you think is a reliable indicator?
Well, I feel like part of what the issue is the indicators that we have are a bit insufficient. And we need to create space for people to be able to tell their stories. That's one of the issues we have with the way the Board of Police Commissioners is set up and the way reports are handled. You know, Detroit police receive a number of complaints against them, but those records are not accessible to the public. And we feel that that's a problem. And Detroit has a high number of complaints against police officers, yet we don't get to see those stories. And that's something that we have to change. And on our end, it's about creating or trying to figure out how to create spaces for people to tell their stories.
Actually, I'm glad you mentioned Raquel Castaneda Lopez. She has announced that she's not going to run for another term. And this is obviously only part of the picture. But as you think about those efforts within the system to provide more transparency about complaints, efforts to restructure police funding, how do you assess the relationships that you have within city government right now?
Well, you know, the thing that I always point out is that LBJ is known as a politician who made really good statements publicly on civil rights and was, you know, instrumental in a way in passing the civil rights legislation of 1964. And I think the Voting Rights Act of 1965. We also know personally he was a rabid racist who had a lot of things to say. I say that to say that the movement makes even conservative politicians do the right thing if it's strong enough. And so our relationship with people within the city won't change insofar as what will really determine that relationship would be what the people themselves do and act to bring pressure to them.
Tristan, when Detroit Police Chief James Craig was talking about the Sunday night, Monday morning incident, he inferred that there is anti-police rhetoric that's driving a wave of violence against officers in Detroit. Do you think that that's true?
I think there is definitely an increase in anti-police rhetoric as a response to the police continuing to act with impunity. Again, during the Chauvin trial, 3 murders, and this is from the New York Times, 3 murders a day related to police officer shootings. So if people in the city are feeling animosity towards the police, that is because of the actions of the police, both in Detroit and across the country.
Just one last question. A former Detroit chief of police, Ralph Godbee, went on MSNBC the other day to say that it's time to defund police. It's time to deconstruct police. Do you think that there is additional weight or significance coming from someone like him saying that?
Yeah, what is really interesting to me, Chief Craig was asked in a city council budget hearing about what are some of the things that the police are responsible now that another agency should be able to do it. And Chief Craig gave two responses, that were extremely limited, and he was reluctant to even give those. We know how inadequate police officers are at dealing with like people who have mental illness issues. One of the shootings that occurred in Detroit yesterday involved a person who had mental illness. And I just think that people are reckoning with the fact that we need more positive, proactive policies to deal with what are the root causes that communities are facing. That's what the communities themselves are demanding. And quite frankly, there are even people within the government who recognize that, yeah, we are actually ill-equipped to deal with some of these things. And what we need to do is focus on funding to make sure that those can be dealt with, that we can stop some of these egregious actions from taking place.
Tristan Taylor is an activist with Detroit Will Breathe. Tristan, thank you and stay safe.
Thank you.